including Sumeru. Now, Sumeru is not an ordinary mountain. Sumeru goes from the very bottom of the universe all the way to the top of the universe. And just as we have rocks here and foliage on the rocks to make up a mountain, so it's similar there, except that mountain's rocks is made of pure gold. And it goes all throughout the heavenly planets as well. So Govardhan is the king of mountains, including Sumeru. And he was given the title Hari Dasa Varja, or the best servant of Hari, by the gopis. Yo gopi kair udito Hari Dasa Varja, from the mouth of the gopis. And this very Govardhan was worshipped by Krishna himself after he stopped the Brijabasi's sacrifice to Indra. And he was held on Krishna's lotus finger for 7 days. So Radharani herself proclaims Govardhan as the best servant of Krishna. There is one verse that are sung by Radharani and the gopis in Venugit when they're lamenting that all the other residents of Vrindavan get to see Krishna all day when he's out playing in the forest, but we gopis have to stay home. We're the most unfortunate. And they pray that they can take birth as one of the little tiny pebbles on Govardhan so that they can witness the Lord's pastimes as Govardhan does. And in that verse, it says, what is the beginning of that? Oh. No, it's not a Bande verse. Verse 18 of Venugit. Huh? Hantarya majra bala haridasa varjam yatarama krishna charana sparasha pramoda manu tunoti sahago tanayas tayoryat pranayasuya vasya kandara kandamole hantayam. This is alas, they're lamenting. Hantayam, aya means this very Govardhan. Adra means mountain. Abala is we weak gopis. We're so weak. We don't have the wherewithal. We're stuck by our husbands and our societal rules. And therefore, we have to stay in our house and we can't go out to meet with Krishna. Though that's not true. They go out to meet Krishna all the time. But in their humility, they're thinking that they're the least surrendered and least able to meet with Krishna. Hantaya majra bala haridasa varja. And that's it. Sense, they said, we are not so fortunate like Govardhan, who's the best of servants. Haridasa varja. Yata Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha. Yat Rama Krishna. It seems like they're saying that Govardhan is serving both Rama, Balaram, and Krishna. And on his very chest, they're dancing and playing. But really, the gopis are glorifying just Krishna. But they don't want people to know because they're supposedly married girls. But what they mean when they're saying Ramakrishna is Radha Ram Krishna, Radha Raman Krishna, Krishna who enjoys with the gopis and especially Radharani. So Yad Ramakrishna Charana Sparasha, Govardhan is getting the touch, the sparsha of the charana, the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like we have hairs on our body, we have holes in our body like pores, and then from those pores the hair stand on end, and we have skin and hair and all those things. We can't offer to Krishna our, here, take my skin, I hope you that you enjoy eating it or touching it, because it's just pus and blood. I wouldn't offer the hairs of my body either to Krishna. Like Sudevi offered her dreadlocks to Gurudev. That was a special request by Gurudev, but it's not, you know, the general thing. So, but because Govardhan's body is Sachidananda Vigraha, like Krishna's, and his body comes out from the heart of Srimati Radhika, he can offer his very body. That is, the hairs of his body standing on end are the trees and the grasses and the perspiration. I would never offer Krishna or Gurudev my perspiration or Prabhupada. But his perspiration are his rivers and lakes and ponds. And Krishna likes to have pastimes right in those very perspiration. And not only the perspiration, but the tears of Govardhan, feeling the pramoda, the ecstasy of having Krishna play on his very body and eat from his very body, produces the tears that also become the rivers and the lakes. And then Krishna has so many pastimes. Like one of the lakes that come from the tears of Govardhan is called Manasi Ganga. And Krishna dressed up as a boatman, disguised himself as a boatman, knowing that the gopis had to cross the river in order to get to the other side to give their yogurt as an offering for the sage's sacrifice. So Krishna dressed up as a boatman, and he said, oh, you can come in my boat and I'll take you across, because there was no other boats around. So they had a feeling that there was something fishy about this, but there was no other boats. So they got on his boat with his heavy pots, and when they were in the middle of the river, Krishna started making the boat rock, and there were tremendous waves, and the boat looked like it was about to sink. And then Krishna told them, the boat's too heavy for this storm, so you have to throw your yogurt pots off the boat. So they did that, and then it still was shaking, so he said, well, then you better throw off your heavy jewelry as well. And then they did that too. And then he said, even your clothes are heavy. But at this point, the gopis were so scared that Radharani grabbed onto the neck of Krishna to save her life. And this was his purpose in creating the whole boat pastime. So that happened in the tears of Govardhan, which emanated from the heart of Radharani, who is, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Govinda Sarvasva, the be-all and end-all of Govinda. So Krishna can take the fruits, he eats the fruits from the trees, which are the hairs standing on end. And in this prayer by the gopis and Radharani, Hantaya Majura Balaharidasa Varja Yatarama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manum Tunoti Sahago Ganayos Tanoyat. Govardhan, the gopis and Radharani are saying, offers his respects to Krishna and his friends by supplying them fruits and flowers, minerals, because the boys decorate Krishna with the minerals of Govardhan Hill and make all kinds of designs on his bodies. You know, like tattoos? That's a perverted reflection of the mineral designs that Krishna and his friends and the gopis wear. So Govardhan's very body supplies those colored minerals. And he also supplies fresh grasses for Krishna's cows, and in that way shows his respects to the cows and calves as well. And they play so many games on Govardhan on his very chest, and Krishna performed with the gopis the highest and most confidential pastime of the Absolute Personality of Godhead by dancing Rasalila on his chest. So Govardhan is always feeling pramod, transcendental ecstasy, having the Lord dancing on his chest. And when Krishna was holding him up for 7 days, when Indra made torrents of rain because Krishna convinced his family members not to worship Indra anymore, but to worship Govardhan. So Indra, the god of the rain, was so angry that he sent down rain that was as thick as pillars and as sharp as arrows. And all of Vrindavan became flooded, where you couldn't distinguish between the land and the water, or you couldn't distinguish between the highlands and the lowlands. So to save the inhabitants, he held up the hill. And there were thunderbolts coming and to strike Govardhan. But Govardhan couldn't have cared less, because he was getting the touch of Krishna's very left pinky. So what is the significance of Krishna holding up the hill with his left pinky? Now, it's already the left hand, and the pinky is the most left thing of the left hand. And the reason is because Radharani always stands on the left side of Krishna. So it was really she that was lifting Govardhan Hill, because Krishna, as Gurudev said a couple of nights ago, he can only desire. But without power, what's the use of having desire? So she is the power that fulfills his desire. So it was by her power that Govardhan was lifted. So therefore, having the touch of Krishna, Govardhan wasn't feeling the torrential rain, but rather he was only feeling the touch of Krishna's finger and remembering Krishna's dancing pastimes on him with the gopis. Now, when the lightning bolts were coming, Lord Shiva arranged for the chakra. His trident was also protecting, and Krishna's chakra was also protecting. That's how Lord Shiva got the name Chakraswara Mahadev, or Chakaleswara Mahadev. You can read about this in the new Shiva Tattva book. So what happened was, all these thunderbolts of Indra were coming, and chakra was spinning around in one place and also circling the whole top of the hill. So whenever the thunderbolts were coming, lightning bolts, then the chakra was smashing those lightning bolts into millions of pieces, so they didn't do any harm. So even though Govardhan was undergoing so much tribulation with all the rain, he wasn't experiencing any trouble at all. And this is because he's Haridasa Varya, or the best of Krishna's servants, or sevakas. Gurudev said there's sevaka, which is servant. And sevaka means that no matter what trouble the devotee undergoes in Krishna's service, they don't think it's any trouble, but they're getting great bliss in that endeavor. Whereas one who has trouble serving his guru or serving Krishna, he's not called a sevaka. The prefix se is taken out and only baka remains. Now, many of you know the Krishna book story of Bakasura. So baka means crane. And a crane stands in the water of any river or lake, and it stands on one leg. You know, the crane stands on one skinny leg with its other foot up like that. And it looks like it's in deep meditation, the crane. It's silent, it's on one foot. It looks like it's in deep meditation, but really the buck is looking down towards the water, looking for if any fish are passing by. And as soon as it sees a fish, it immediately goes and grabs for that fish. So a devotee who's not really a devotee, or a disciple who's not really a disciple, this is a good guru tattva, may look like he's engaged in service, but really he's thinking of his own sense gratification and goes for it at the first opportunity. Plus, he has problems. Oh, this is too hard, Gurudev. I was just in the same lectures that I was quoting last night. Gurudev also was talking about this sevaka and the bhaka. And he said, suppose the guru says, please go and get me a glass of water. Then the disciple says, how am I going to get the glass of water, Gurudev? Just go and get the glass of water. Well, what if I can't find the glass, Gurudev? Just go and get the glass of water. Well, do you want hot water or cold water? So this is not sevak, but buck. But Giriraj is not only a sevak, not only Hari Das, servant of Hari, Krishna, but he's Hari Das of Varja, the very topmost servant. Now there's three Hari Dasas. There's Hari Das, Hari Das of Var, and Hari Das of Varja. Hari Das is Maharaj Yudhisthira. And even Narada, he's such a great devotee. We're always hearing the glories from our Guru Parampara about Narada Muni. And he serves Krishna in so many different incarnations as Narayan. And in fact, Gurudev sometimes says we don't want to follow him because he's always chanting Sriman Narayana Narayana Narayan. But that's what Krishna Das was, what's it called? Dovetailing that same song on Gurudev's Vyasa Puja for Swami Narayana Nara, or, Gurudeva Narayana Narayana. So Narada Muni serves Narayan and Dwarkadish Krishna and Ram and even Brijendra Nandan, but he doesn't have the fortune. He's not as advanced as somebody who's not as famous as him, that is Maharaj Yudhisthira, because he doesn't have the mamata, or the sense of mine-ness, that Maharaj Yudhisthira has. Because Yudhisthira thinks himself that Krishna is my cousin brother. So, we don't find Lord Narayan or Lord Ram going to the house or the ashram of Narada. Narada has to come and see him. But where will Narada go to see him? To the house of Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers. So Yudhisthira is Hari Das, Hari Das. He told, Maharaj Yudhisthira told Krishna, before he was married, Krishna said, tell me anything that you want. And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, I want a special benediction from you. I want the most beautiful and qualified wife and the most powerful and qualified sons. So Krishna laughed and he said, what do you want that for? So he said, so many people are afraid to worship you, because they're afraid if I worship Krishna, I'll lose everything. So I want to show them that you can worship Krishna and have everything and still be a great devotee. Because, Krishna is Hari. That means he takes away everything. That's not good for your bhakti. So I want to show people that they don't have to be afraid to worship you. So he's Hari Das. And Hari Das of Var is Uddhav. Maharaj Yudhisthira is a great devotee, but he can't go to Vrindavan. He's not qualified to go to Vrindavan and meet with the gopis. But Uddhav was sent by Krishna to console not only his parents, but even to console the gopis. Of all the relatives of Krishna and associates of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna felt that only Uddhav was qualified to go to Vrindavan and learn, at least he's qualified to enter the school of the gopis, to learn from them what is prema, so that when he would come back to Mathura, Krishna would be able to share with him his anxieties. Like if you have some deep grief, there's only certain people that you feel comfortable to share it with so that they can console you. They'll understand, first of all, what you're talking about. They can empathize or at least sympathize, and they could say some words that would console you. So out of everybody, Krishna felt that only Uddhav was qualified not to console the gopis, but to learn from them about prema. So it was externally to console the gopis, but really to learn from them what prema was, so that he would come back and maybe teach somebody else, some other people in Mathura, so Krishna could share his misery and have some consolation when he's in Mathura. So therefore, he's Haridas Var, a great Haridas. Like we say in our pranam mantras, about Prahlad, what is it? What do we say? Bhakti Pravara, Sri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Pravara, Vara means great. Pra means like completely great. So Vara means great. And in, I think it's Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's pranam mantra. What is it? Namos Satchidananda Namane. Variety. He's the best of the great Rupanuga devotees. So, unfortunately, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, the gopis would not allow him to enter their school to learn about prema. He wasn't even qualified for admittance into the school. So he said, well, can I at least sweep here as a sweeper in the school? And they said, no, you only got 25% on your admittance exam, and you need at least 85 to enter. So go back to Mathura, and at some other point, we'll reconsider you. So he was qualified to go, but not qualified to enter the school. So then Haridasa Varja, the very topmost devotee, is Govardhan. As we were talking a few minutes ago out there, Govardhan is a manifestation of the heart of Srimati Radhika. He may also be considered a manifestation of Baladev, because Baladev is Dhamesvara. That is, he is the manifester of all the abodes of the Lord. He manifests Vrindavan, he manifests Vaikuntha, he manifests Dwarka, he manifests Navadvipa, everything. So seen from different angles, you could see Govardhan differently. But the deepest understanding is that Govardhan is a manifestation of the heart of Srimati Radhika for rendering the most confidential service to Radha and Krishna. It's stated in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, that the topmost place in existence is Vaikuntha, that place where there's no anxiety, which is unlimited in length and breadth, and which is the abode of the Lord, Lord Narayan. But higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura, because the Lord was born there. And within Mathura, the highest place is Vrindavan. And within Vrindavan, the highest place is Govardhan. And within Govardhan, the highest place is Radhakund, because that's where the most confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna take place. And that Radhakund is described in Shastra as the being embraced by the neck, right in the neck of Govardhan. And Govardhan is sometimes compared with a peacock. The shape of Govardhan is like a peacock. And Radhakund is right there being embraced by the neck of Govardhan. So Radhakund is also Govardhan. And Radhakund is a manifestation of the heart of Radharani, who is Govinda Sarvasva. She's the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the supplier of all of Govinda's desires. So if we are ever able to fulfill Krishna's desires, beginning with fulfilling Gurudev's, Sri Guru's desires, that will only be as the mercy of Srimati Radhika, who is the only fulfiller of all of Krishna's desires. There's one verse which is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Rai Ramananda Sambhad. Sukarupa Krishna Kori Sukha Aswadan Bhakta Gana Sukha Dite Ladini Karan. That is, Krishna is the embodiment of happiness, and Krishna tastes happiness, and Krishna gives happiness to his devotees. And the cause of all this happiness, that is the happiness, the fact that Krishna is the embodiment of happiness, that he tastes happiness, and that he gives happiness to his devotees, the cause of all that is Srimati Radhika. So if anybody else appears to be giving happiness to Krishna, it's all the mercy of Radharani. Because really it's her that's giving it, because she is the embodiment of bhakti. So if somebody gives pleasure to Krishna, it's because they have bhakti. So Govardhan is coming out from the heart of Radharani to facilitate the most confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that is in the caves and kunjas. Kunjas means the bowers, the houses made of trees and plants. But these aren't like the tree houses in Hawaii, which is like nothing. But in these kunjas, or houses made of bowers, there are domes, there are mosaic courtyards, there are staircases, there are rooms, there are fountains, there are like millions of times more opulent than the most opulent palace that you can imagine, even on the heavenly planets. And what are these diamonds and mosaic floors that the palaces are made of? And what are the trees that have, some of the trees are made of coral and they have diamond leaves with ruby fruits. And other trees are made of sapphires and they have coral leaves and what else is there? Pearl fruits. So what are these that the bowers of Govardhan are made of? It's not really that they're made of pearls and diamonds. They're made of more than pearls and diamonds, but they look natural. Just like here, this is like a dim, cloudy, muddy, perverted reflection of Govardhan. Because this place is also full of mountains. So when our acharyas describe the trees and the bowers and the courtyards in that way, they don't mean that it's the diamonds of this world, but it's so far beyond. But the most opulent thing we can think of is diamonds and pearls. So therefore, those words are used, but it's so far beyond them. And at the same time, they're natural. So Radha and Krishna have their confidential pastimes in the kunjas and the caves. And the caves are also not like the caves of Hawaii, but these caves are also full of foliage and the same kind of diamond trees and bushes. Plus, it's full of mirrors, very sparkling, shiny, colorful mirrors. And Radha and Krishna get served by their assistants there. Now, the nature of a cave is that it's very hidden. So Govardhan is providing those caves from his own body. His body becomes the caves. And it looks like there's nobody there. The maidservants, they come in. They know exactly when the right time is to come in to perform their services. But they're not always there. Sometimes it seems like nobody's there. So just like, and because it looks like nobody's there, no person is there, though Govardhan is a person, they're able to freely perform these most confidential pastimes. So what I'm going to say now also applies to Guru Tattva. Visrambena Guru Seva, serving Guru with intimacy, or serving Radha and Krishna with intimacy, in the case of Govardhan, but I'll give it the example first in the case of Guru. That is, in the higher levels of Guru Seva, one comes to a point where he's serving Guru with intimacy. That means that he doesn't see a difference between his own heart, his own soul, and Guru. Just like I may become envious that here I am standing in the line and Gurudev is just getting off his Vyasasana and he's going to his car and he's passing through the line